You're listening to
The Real King
with Joe and Heidi King.
Boss,
you interrupted my story for that.
Well, I'm like, it's so weird. When are you hearing it? Like, we're newleweds.
Okay, back to me.
Yeah, back to you. Da,
da, da, people, da, da. Oh, they were asking
today, Junior.
Can I just say that this is my life?
Somebody pray for me right now. I saw a video and somebody was asking somebody my age and then their kid. I'm gonna say this whole thing. I don't care if it
you
takes us an
power
hour.
Through now.
I don't care if it takes us an hour.
Power through, okay? Girl. Power through.
And they said, hang up a phone, like do the motion of hanging up a phone. So the person that was my age was like, oh, like hang up a phone.
Yeah.
And their kid was like,
yep, I knew it. 100%.
You know, there's no satisfaction quite like slamming the phone down in somebody's ear.
Yeah. Like if you want to do it on an iPhone, it's like,
yeah.
You break your own screen and then you got like it's a $200.
Because they break every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
Jasmine doesn't know, so similar story. She doesn't know that like things were commercials.
First day on the podcast or what?
First day today.
Like,
new guy.
When we were children, it was commercials that were between shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how you knew what you were getting for Christmas.
She calls them ads, like to this very day. Like, oh, that ad. Yeah.
That's so funny. My parents. It might be their generation. What are they, boomers? Yeah.
Yep.
Listen, they are susceptible to ads.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Like, they're calling the 1-800 number.
They're
like,
calling the 1-800
like
number.
Mike Huckabee, because he promoted it.
So,
yes. My mom's the same way.
If you look at...
I'm not looking.
The cable companies, right?
Yeah.
When you call and you have, like, your fiber optic put in, they say, okay, we'll do internet... phone and cable all for this deal, and you're like, no, I just want the internet and the cable, right. And they're like, well, you'll get a better deal if you just hook up the phone and never plug anything in.
I am tempted to get a landline,
but do you know why?
Sidebar conversation.
Because what they do is it builds a profile as you watch TV, and especially for like that generation. So if they stop and they watch a while longer on like an infomercial for like mobility chairs,
sure,
teeter hang-ups, Tony Little Gazelle type exercise machines, it builds a profile. Then they sell their information.
Did you say teeter hang-ups?
Yeah.
What are you saying?
It's an inversion thing. It's usually like 2 a.m. you would see those infomercials.
Sure.
But they'll watch and it'll record if people... like they're flipping through the channels, they get caught on something, and they stay and they watch it. Builds a profile, then they sell that profile with that landline.
That's wild, because what if you fall asleep or go to the bathroom or all the things?
Right?
And I thought it was only the internet that can do algorithms. So like
that's it all is through the algorithms. So the cable is now fiber optic. It all goes through the same box.
Weird.
So what happens is they sell that information. And they'll sell they farm your information and your profiles, and then they sell that.
And
that's,
then people
that's
call.
What your sister does for a living. Like she, well, not quite that, but she does a similar thing. But they actually, they farm.
Your sister?
I don't know.
So we were having a conversation because I kind of like rabbit trail on this stuff sometimes.
Shocking.
And I was going down a rabbit trail, and they were talking about these. Perry Stone started it. Perry, if you're watching.
Shout out, Perry.
He had a businessman in his church that's what his business was. He had like these places in Silicon Valley that were like just supercomputers. And everything would go through these and it would farm information, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like they'll have a center and then all of a sudden you call Charter or Comcast and you're really upset. And it says, this call will be recorded for quality purposes.
And training purposes.
Right.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden, you're online, and it's like, please press 1. Please press 2. And you're like, come on. And all of a sudden, it's recording you. and it's sending your voice inflections into this computer place, and now they're taking your voice inflections and they're going to pair you with a customer service representative that can calm you down faster.
Are you serious? Carl, fact check that right now. I'm just 100%. Kidding. I'm like on Joe Rogan. Jamie.
Well, I was talking about that
with Theo does Jim
and your sister who's in logistics was like, oh, absolutely. We've been doing that for years. Because when you're dealing with logistics and you get somebody that's shipping something, they call in and your driver got in an ice storm accident and now all their goods are sitting on the side of a highway being towed.
Imagine.
Then you have an angry customer.
I have two things to add.
They'll match them with somebody that has a similar profile that can talk them off the ledge.
I have two things. Number one, your true character comes out when you're saying representative. Representative. Like that,
or
the level
talk
of.
Talk to a person.
Yeah. People cuss.
Human being.
People cuss that
they
machine
do.
Out.
They do.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, it's funny because Carlos watches soccer a lot.
Mm-hmm. Football.
Not American football.
Football.
Everybody in the world calls it football. Like, not even football, but like football. But then they say American football. But he watches soccer for all you American people out there. And they have like advertisements around the stadium. Like,
yeah,
around the field. Those are green screens. So they're tailored to like your the market that you're watching in. And you get different ads than like the people in Italy and the people in
weird
Spain. I know.
And they the do that in China, like on end caps of stores. Like it does facial recognition and it'll start throwing up ads of what's on sale in the store.
Imagine.
That would fit your
China needs to chill with their facial recognition.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, you just got to get one of those like net things that makes everybody look like Donald Trump.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The little hood thing you put on and then you put on a hat.
I want to know what you mean, but
it's like a nylon. It's like a nylon.
Oh, it's like the arm sleeve tattoos?
But it has like somebody else's face on it. They sell them on like Temu.
Oh, Temu. All right.
I googled chicken runs.
Is it Temu or Temu? Because it's vowel, Temu. Consonant, vowel, but it's also a different language.
But I only know this because I was googling like building a chicken run a certain way, and now like in my feed, like every other video is like, my husband thought I was nuts for buying this chicken run off of Temu, and like all of a sudden it shows like AI. The chicken run, yeah. They got my profile.
Elephant in the room. Joe and Heidi got checks.
We got checks.
Baby checks.
20 of them.
So many. Too many.
I was super excited because they only had certain kinds. And then something happened where a big deal must have fallen through. And this is legit. Like right now, chicken stuff, egg shortage, hot stuff.
Chicken stock.
So they ended up getting the kind of chickens we had when I was growing up. So they ended up having like a whole bunch of Rhode Island Reds come in place of these other ones. So I got 10 of those.
Andrew used to pick those up by their feet and throw them at me.
Yeah. They're nice chickens, though.
That's so funny. Well, congratulations on your 20 chicks.
Yeah.
Just
I'm a new dad.
A family that thrives... that thrives on chaos. You're about to have a baby, or a human one.
When he said, let's go get baby chicks, I totally thought he was kidding. And then he said it again, and then I thought he was kidding. And then we had to get up at 6 in the morning to go get the baby chicks.
Because it's competitive.
Black Friday.
Literally.
There was a line.
And I thought I was like, okay, he's not kidding. So here we go. And then he was like, we have to get there early. And I was like, no.
It's competitive.
It was... I literally texted you and I was like, I am not built for this cutthroat chicken life.
Oh, yeah. People were mad.
They separated a pregnant woman from her husband and then gave me tood when I tried to get back to him.
Yeah, and then she had a tood. who'd with me.
For like, it took me like a beat to figure out that you were talking about yourself. Oh, yeah. Like, another pregnant lady?
She was like ready to leave.
Like, their chickens, calm she's down. Like,
she drug me all the way to here in another city.
City.
Mm-hmm. It's so weird, too.
Play it fast and loose.
It was a very strange day.
That, you know what it is? It's good, though.
It's strange. I also, when I got home, I started to Google a thousand things because we are not chicken farmers. So
I grew up with chickens.
I didn't have any clue. So, for example, I saw poop on their butt.
Sure.
Okay. And I was like, I don't think that's right. I don't know much about this business, but I don't think that's right. So I just about Googled how to clean the butt of a baby chick. And like all of a sudden I was like, I can't Google that. Like I felt like immediately baby something bad was going to happen. So I like re-erased all of it.
You're going to get on a list somewhere.
To put like baby chickens.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah, you almost had a whole bunch of Hunter Biden videos show up on like, your phone.
I was like, I can't Google that right
Shout
now.
Shout out Hunter.
I need to change my verbiage here.
You want to talk about our topic? Does Joe know what our topic is?
No, I haven't.
No, but I got a verse and we'll see if it goes.
Okay, let me do my thing first.
Okay. What is the same
line? I know, I'm curious what his verse is now. Can you just tell us what book it's in?
No.
Why? And I burped. Did you hear it? It was like...
Hey. What? How long is the longest case of hiccups in U.S. history?
17 years. Longer? 100 years.
Lower.
Sean, 54 years.
63.
I can't imagine.
Can you imagine having the hiccups like consistently for like 63
At that point,
years?
Are we just calling them esophageal spasms and not hiccups? Yeah. Because so I feel like hiccup is like a cute name.
How much did that poor person go through? Like everybody in the family is probably sick of it, so they're just jumping out around every corner, like trying to scare them.
Well, and like
putting peanut butter in all their food.
Even right? with like the medical community, how did we not like figure something out there? Like was it back how in like
long,
the 1800s?
It had to have been a long time ago. Because I feel like they would have figured something out. Okay. So I thrift books. I buy secondhand books a lot, and I scored a like brand new copy of Oswald Chambers' My Utmost for Size.
Yeah.
I probably gave that to somebody, and they never read it and stuck it somewhere. And they
like, does it have anything written on the inside?
No, there's nothing.
That's cool.
There's nothing. And it's like in good condition. The only thing is like it had a little tape here or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So I bought this, and then I was like, I had it right on my desk because ADHD people deal with object permanence. So if I don't have it in front of my face, I forget I have it. And I wanted to make sure I used it. And my dad's been using this book for so many years.
Every new Christian, he gets him one.
Yeah. And his, like, the cover, the actual, like, this cover fell off and he taped it back on upside down. Like, he's had it for almost my whole life. Okay, so I was determined that I was going to use it for a devotional. And so, do I give the whole backstory? Like when I called you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I woke up this morning. You're killing me. He goes, uh-huh. I woke up this morning, and it's been heavy on my heart for a while, but it was particularly heavy on my heart this morning because I've witnessed like people I know or friends that engage in what they consider a ministry, but rather than having the gospel as the primary focus of the ministry and then other like services to the people, it's backwards, and they're providing like goods and services, charitable, but the gospel is secondary. And so anytime I see that in any ministry, and there's a lot of them out there that like they're the source of something, whether it's community or peace or comfort or love or anything, if a ministry is built up so that people are seeking the ministry to fulfill those things, and it could be tangible things too, like clothing, shelter, food, like you name it. And it just weighs heavily on my heart because to me, to offer the thing as the primary and make yourself the source to the people is troubling. Okay.
So well, that happens with stuff as simple as like, you know, community,
right?
Like through youth groups or young couples groups.
So it's been weighing heavily on me that there are situations like this. So sometimes I get this feeling of like urgency, like I gotta do something.
Yeah.
I gotta do something about this. Whether it's like reach out to people that I'm concerned about or like do something, right? Like action it in some way. And like, I believe in this instance, it was my flesh saying like, well, something must be done.
Yeah.
And I should
take
this into my own hands.
Justice.
Yeah. And then I came out to the coop because I started my work day and then I took a few minutes and I was like, I'm going to do the devotional for today, which is Monday, March 24th. We record ahead of time and then, and so I'm going to read you what the devotional was today. And there it's jam packed.
Even though that was all going on before she even came out to read
the devotional. I never came out here until, and then I read this. Okay. Okay. So it's based on John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Okay. If you become a necessity to someone else's life, you are out of God's will. As a servant, your primary responsibility is to be a friend of the bridegroom, like it says in John 3:29. When you see a person who is close to grasping the claims of Jesus Christ, you know that your influence has been used in the right direction. And when you begin to see that person in the middle of a difficult and painful struggle, don't try to prevent it, but pray that his difficulty will grow even 10 times stronger until no power on earth or in hell could hold him away from Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Over and over again, we try to be amateur providences in someone's life. We are indeed amateurs coming in and actually preventing God's will and saying, this person should not have to experience this difficulty. Instead of being friends of the bridegroom, our sympathy gets in the way. This hit me so hard, this next part. One day that person will say to us, you are a thief. You stole my desire to follow Jesus, and because of you, I lost sight of him. That's
heavy.
Heavy.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Beware of rejoicing with someone over the wrong thing, but always look to rejoice over the right thing. The friend of the bridegroom rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's the scripture, verse 29 and 30. This was spoken with joy, not with sadness. At last, they were to see the bridegroom. And John said this was his joy. It represents a stepping aside, an absolute removal of the servant, never to be thought of again. Listen intently with your entire being until you hear the bridegroom's voice in the life of another person, and never give any thought to what devastation, difficulties, or sickness it will bring. Just rejoice with godly excitement that his voice has been heard. You may often have to watch Jesus Christ wreck a life before he saves it. It gives me chills.
Yeah, mic drop.
So,
and even that last part, like there's so many people that would be like, Jesus wrecks lives. I don't think so. But what he's saying there is like, for some people, that's the only thing that's how it has to happen. That's the only thing that's going to do anything.
We as humans with our opinion or our personal definition of what we think, compassion looks like, we look at like highlighted beautiful scriptures about people that received.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a point when Jesus had to call a Gentile woman a dog to test her to see where her faith was at to get her daughter healed. And he had to make an open show of it in front of an entire table. you know, and people, like, they don't realize that the same God that enrobed himself in the flesh and went to the cross, he who knew no sin, took all of the sin of the world, both previous and sin to come, upon himself. That same God is the same one who, because of the deception in Ananias and Sapphira, after Jesus already ascended to be with the Father, on two different accounts in the same day, two different people were struck dead. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so we serve a jealous God. We serve mm-hmm. a God that will not share a throne with any other. And when we take those heart postures of that we're going to be a Messiah or a Savior to anybody, we end up in a weird situation. Like, we talk about this often. When somebody's at the altar, they run to the altar, they drop. They're in tears. They're broken before the Lord. And then all of a sudden you see like three empaths run up there. And
yeah.
they're like flooding them with
yeah.
with physical touch. And it's like, you're not going to do anything. God already brought them up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is between him and them. Now you're distracting them with your emotional.
Sometimes.
Most of the time, actually. I had to go through pure hell mm-hmm. in a lot of situations to be able to find myself fully reliant on God.
Yeah.
Like, don't.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking today with somebody in a store about how, like, there's a lot of things I went through where I didn't want anybody to pray me out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted the grace to get through it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want somebody's help, right? I wanted God. I wanted God, because if he closes that door, there's going to be finality there.
Mm-hmm.
If a person prays for my healing, right? If they pray for my physical healing, and they put it all on the line, all their best articulation of what a prayer should look like,
mm-hmm.
and nothing happens, they might try and take responsibility for nothing yeah. happening. Or they'll try and push it off on me, like, oh, you just didn't have enough yeah. faith, Joe. You need to get in the Word. You need to fast.
There's just so many applications of this. There's, like, I think,
yeah, so many.
I think of, like, there's a lot of times where people that are, they really need Jesus. They're demonized, or they're being dogged by spirits. I've watched it over the years where people, they can be very manipulative, right? And, like, being in a family that's involved in ministry, you see people, like, they want to be able to call 24/7, which mm-hmm. I'm not, like, I don't witness the people in my life that are in ministry complaining about that. But there have been people that come across and they want your undivided attention for many multiple days, months, weeks. And if you don't answer and if you don't respond, well, I had no one else to call. Don't you understand? I don't have anyone else. I am alone here, right there. Well, then this relationship already has gone too far, because now you're relying on me when you should be relying on him.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't be your first call.
Yeah.
He should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest part in any type of ministry.
100%.
Is to literally try to get them to have that revelation.
Yeah.
Of, you're seeing God in us. But we're not, like, the source.
We're not the one to seek.
And you have to get that same level of, he is my only source.
Yeah.
Pastor mm-hmm. Billy, when we were under his ministry, and I was with this guy all the time, he would constantly preach. So he started out Baptist, and he knew the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then God gave him a Spirit-filled experience. But he would constantly preach over and over that God has to be your first response, not your last resort.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, you go there first, then you can call upon the prayer team.
Yeah.
Then you can call upon the house of intercessors.
Mm-hmm.
But God has to be you have to get to a place where you understand he's your first response, not your last resort. That's been like huge in our life. Mm-hmm. Like just those little, I mean, some of these ministers that we were close to, yeah. they're not in the area anymore. Mm-hmm. God moved them away, and some of them, they left in less than favorable terms. But I think it's sometimes God does that just so that people don't have that connection, you know, so that they're not
yeah.
still looking to them as their spiritual headship or father yeah. when the new guy comes in. But
go ahead, Heidi.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I think, like, we've had this discussion on a different topic multiple times, but how things start off pure, but then turn into something else.
Yeah.
So I think that with any of these, even with these ministries that potentially have gotten like a little shift
mm-hmm. yeah.
of what's going on, it all started off
with the like best a intentions,
pure yeah. heart, and doing that thing, which you're supposed to do, where you're directing yeah. everybody to the Lord. And then over time, it just ends up, unfortunately, yeah. morphing into something else. But even with people coming to, because the people that need help, they do need us. They need people in the ministry mm-hmm. to help, like, push and yeah. guide into mm-hmm. that proper direction. The miss there is when the people that you're going to for help, which you need,
yeah.
are guiding you in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
So that's where stuff goes awry. But I can relate to that pretty hardcore, because when you are struggling and feel like there's no light in your life, you literally see light, which it said there when you see the bridegroom and people.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing.
Yes. It's like a moth to a flame.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's so easy for you to put people in a ministry box up on like a pedestal, because you're literally seeing that light that's like coming yeah, off anointing. Of them, and it's so drying.
Yeah.
There were times when I was like in my worst, when Joe was still like that, where I had like zero hope and zero light, and I would see Pastor Billy, and I would be so drawn to him. Mm-hmm. And I said this to you before at UHG. Mm-hmm. I was literally like, I just want to like go in the back of his car and just like lay there. Mm-hmm. Because I just wanted to be like it safe. I wanted to yeah. feel like in the presence of yeah. like what he was carrying.
And yeah. it's not at that point, it was not like perverted.
No, not at all. You were
looking for proximity. The covering of a shepherd.
Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. like, so my flesh was like yearning for
I need
that.
Safety.
I literally was yeah. like, I could just literally like go there. Mm-hmm. By the way, that kind of thing does go to perversion.
Yep. It happens a lot.
That's why so many women try to hit on or get like attracted to a male pastor. Is yep. because you're hurting and you see Jesus's light in that man.
We'll say it again. Morphs. We've said it before. We'll say it again. Under no uncertain terms will God ever destroy one marriage
Correct.
To build another.
Correct.
God will never
nope.
send you someone else's spouse.
Yeah.
What God put together, no man or woman yeah. should ever yeah. put asunder.
Yeah. So that feeling that I had.
Yep.
That can go perverted mm-hmm. very easily. With me, it didn't. But God started me there. Like, so I can yep. understand these feelings because yeah. I've literally walked that road before. So I can understand why people are, because they need the people in ministry.
Well, and what happens is you have an instant fix. You know, it's an instant gratification. So it's like faith is the evidence of things unseen, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like I cannot see the answer right now with my spiritual state and where I'm physically at, mm-hmm. but I can have this quick fix just being in the presence of the anointing that God's put on this person,
yeah. Yeah.
right? So it's a quick fix, and it's not going to be, you still have to, that might actually just make it take longer for you to get to that place mm-hmm. of dependency on God,
yeah.
because inevitably you'll have to be somehow offended or hurt through that person's ministry to realize like, oh, it's not them I'm seeking, it's yeah. God.
Mm-hmm. And the reason I'm going to finish my thought there, but the reason I'm talking about mine is because in my situation, I think it was done not by any means of my own, But I think it was done perfectly because I didn't fall into the perversion of thinking the pastor was like my answer.
Yeah.
I didn't fall into any of that. But God, so this is how God uses people in ministry. So mm-hmm. he initially brings you into somebody that has light,
yep.
that has his light in him, mm-hmm. that draws you in. And then at first your flesh does like, I just need them. I need them to answer my calls or answer yep. my questions.
I need them to pray for me. You never spent any time actually with him, though.
Correct.
Yours was all pulpit to chair, and yes. you always sat in like the third to the back row.
Yes.
Yep.
Next
yep.
to Steffi and Josh.
That's what I'm talking about. Hi, so Stephanie. I think in my situation, it was, again, by no means my own, it was done the way yeah. it's supposed to be. Because what that did was when I did go up for prayer and I did have healing on something specific, mm-hmm. then in my own home, like after the door was opened,
yeah.
after the like all of that was welcomed in,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Then he started to deal with me with no other man around.
So it says, when you see a person who is close to grasping the claims of Jesus, you know that your influence has been used in the right direction.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you want to see.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to add, were you finished with yeah. your thought? Okay. So I have something to add, and then I want to dig into a particular part.
Dip in with the claims of Jesus?
Yeah. Meaning, like...
Like, narrow is the gate, right? The claims of Jesus. You look at things that he said that were pivotal on certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
Nicodemus the Pharisee comes...
In this chapter, that's the story.
And says, you know, what do I have to do? And he says,
yeah.
unless a man is born again of the spirit and of the water.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of ministries out there perverting and deeming people saved without fruit, yeah. right? Yeah. So we should never put ourselves in a place of judgment that they're not or that they are.
Right.
But we should stand according to God's word.
Right.
And like a jackhammer, you iterate those mm-hmm. things, right? And he says, narrow is the gate. Few are those that enter into it. He keeps making these
assertions.
Yeah, and unless a man lay down his or lose his life, he won't gain it.
Right.
Right. So yeah. we have to literally all the fun stuff of like, okay, my whole neighborhood, everybody owns this kind of jet ski. We live on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I aspire to be. Like, you have to lose that and get so close to God. And then if he gives that back to you, awesome.
Yeah.
Because you'll be able to steward it well then. But if you're the rich young ruler and you're like, all right, God, I'm going to follow you. And he's like, okay. Once you sell all your possessions,
mm-hmm.
and then you have that attitude, that man said, let me go and bury my father and this and that. And then he walks away and he lives until death in despair.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says that you see somebody getting close
to the claims of Jesus,
now they're getting it. They're like, yeah. they're starting to produce fruit in those areas. Yeah, they're like,
it's starting to click.
They're like wealth, the prosperity of this world, yeah. all those things that rust and moths eat up mean nothing to me. I just want you, Jesus. I just want to see the Great Commission fulfilled through my life. I want to see people come to you. I want to see them surrender their lives to you. Until you see that in people, they're not there yet.
Yeah. So I have a few things I want to add in. Number one, what you're describing is why it's so essential that when people get saved, they get properly discipled before they launch into ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times you see people, they quickly want to
serve.
They want to serve, but they want, like, I've seen people, and you see this a lot, like on social media and stuff, like famous people, they get saved. And then like all of a sudden their platform is them trying to minister to the masses and they have no
theology,
like they don't know
theology, or
and so like what can happen is it becomes a codependent relationship because your ego gets stroked every time somebody needs you.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then you start to create situations where you become the providence for that person. They don't have divine providence then. It's you. And every time somebody reaches out and needs you, that fulfills a need in you. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so imperative. God doesn't call perfect people. We're all imperfect. But you have to be whole and healthy and with him at the center of everything. Yeah. You have to have a little bit of experience before you launch into this. Because if you have a weak spot there, Satan will 100% of the time capitalize on it.
Yeah.
If he knows that you love to be the person and help people and that you do have empathy and sympathy for people and you love to be needed, he's going to continue all day long. And then what happens is if your whole ministry is built on people needing you and that slacks off slightly, mm-hmm. your whole world starts to fall apart.
Correct.
My ministry is going down the toilet. Nobody needs me anymore. What's going on?
Well, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if you created it so the people need you and then your ministry starts to slow down or something, then those people literally will leave God based on
you.
Your reflection of what God is supposed to be.
The enemy knows if you have an envy issue, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at people that are having some success and you're like, well, I can't do anything until I have this, this, and this, right?
You have to think about the character of Satan and how he fell.
Right.
And he's going to try to capitalize on that feeling in everybody.
He'll always hit that. So then all of a sudden he'll make it very difficult at all costs to keep you from having the things that you think you need to start. Mm-hmm. If you think you have a vision from God, well, he's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's provision. So he gives you, you know, when Peter needed to pay his taxes, Jesus created coins in the mouths of fish.
Yeah.
You know, and he said, go and pay mine too. When you look at something like that, and then you're striving and striving and striving to come up with the funds because you want to feed the poor or this or that, you need to like get back in line with God because he will always have a surplus for what he's called you to do. There's so many things that we have to see mm-hmm. where we think it's an attack of the enemy, and what actually... If we got back in line with the original vision or the plan that God has for our life, it's not going to be an attack.
Right.
Because God's going to have, he will prepare the way. Mm-hmm. He will align your steps. He's the lamp unto your feet. Those are all scriptural points.
Yeah.
So it's like when we struggle in a certain area, we've probably gotten away from the cross. We've probably gotten away from the vision.
So... two biblical references, and then there's a specific part of this I want to dig into. So, first of all, we see precedent for this in the Bible. One is the guy at the gate, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And they're like, silver and gold have we none. Mm-hmm. But this is what we do have. Mm-hmm. That's a perfect example of what we should do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sending to the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know what? That makes ministry so much more inclusive of people that are not people of means.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to have silver and gold. You already have the most precious, valuable thing in the whole universe. And that's a relationship with Jesus. And you can tell people about that.
Yeah.
And so you don't have to have money or means to minister to people.
When God, he wants you to walk in. It says in scripture that he's going to give us a measure of glory. So he wants us to walk in that. I had a situation... I don't know, probably over a year ago. And it was really interesting. There was somebody that I had been in communication with that mm-hmm. they have a ministry, they do it a certain way. And, you know, they presented some really good points about scripture and studying and things like that. And so I read a lot and I study a lot and I use my personal experiential knowledge with God, which would be my testimony a lot. Mm-hmm. And this individual is like, you know, your testimony is nothing. Like, you got to just speak the word. And so I started doing that. And all of a sudden, I started to see less and less results. Because I always like I share testimony, but it always leads to the word, and then I share the word, and then
it's interwoven
and
together.
Then, yeah, and mm-hmm. then I,
which is how it should be.
I show yes. them how like you're gonna need to get in tied into a church, and you're gonna need this, and you're gonna need this, and this mm-hmm. is what's gonna make you strong. And so I was like praying about it, and like this was several months later, and I was going through something. I was like, Lord, like, what is going on? And I was thinking about this person's words, and I started to realize, like, that God showed me, like, that person had an encounter with God at, like, 8 years old. They've never went out.
Yeah.
And that person doesn't feel they have a testimony like that, so they don't feel it's necessary. Mm-hmm. Or maybe they felt threatened by something like that. I don't know. But that person has a very specific ministry. That yeah. ministry speaks to me mm-hmm. because I'm like, wow, how amazing that you've never succumbed to the flesh to go out and fail. You've just always focused on the Lord. That's amazing to yeah. me. But there's people out there that they might find that unrelatable, mm-hmm. right? And then they've been indoctrinated with all right. their best friends saying, well, the word has been translated wrong, da, 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 da. And that same person,
I need to see evidence yeah, of the reality of God.
I might stand in front of yeah. them and share what God did for me and how he set me free and how he took me from a dying man to a person that loves to see others do well.
And here's the thing. There is a place and an anointing on both. Of
there
the
is. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
They're actually both parts of
they
like a fivefold.
They complement each other.
And they should work yeah. heavily together.
Yes.
And we should never try to disarm somebody no. with what God's armed them with.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we have to be discerning of those things.
Yeah.
It's all important. And we definitely have to understand that God has a very specific vision and purpose for each and every one of us.
Yeah.
So when I'm trying to manufacture something to look like somebody I feel is really making a move, I'm going to miss out on my entire
Absolutely.
Call.
Because when God called that person, it wasn't a conference call. Mm-hmm. He didn't call both of you.
Right.
Yeah. He calls each of us individually. Yep. When he called me, it was not a conference call. It wasn't me and five of my friends. It was just me.
Right.
You never hear people preach heavy on when Paul like took a step back and earned money being a tent maker with Ananias. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because there's no glitz and glamour there.
No.
You know? And all this stuff is so important for us to get down, if especially if we're going to go into ministry, and everybody should.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form. We have to have a good root system
yeah.
where we're not in the carnal, where we're comparing or where we're thinking that we're not equipped. Like you can only equip yourself by learning mm-hmm. what Jesus said, by reading the word.
Right.
But when it comes to all the other things, like you're going to save your pennies to mm-hmm. to go do whatever God called you to do, and you're gonna rely on your gifting to get people to pour into your economy to do that. God's already got the people set apart to right. do that. And what you're gonna do is be so focused on that you're not gonna get equipped in the basic training that God's got planned mm-hmm. for you. Your eyes, your vision's gonna be different. So you're not gonna be equipped with the armor that's going to keep you from getting stolen from.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, I always used to tell people, you know, I could preach the wheels off the wagon when it comes to the prosperity gospel. Like we've had some pretty amazing encounters where right. God wiped out what 40,000 in student loan debt for you. Mm-hmm. Just gone.
Lord, what you did for one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I've seen it happen for two.
Lord, what you did for two.
Both in the 40K and both documented.
Lord, do you yeah. see me?
Heidi just got the documents in the mail. You want proof?
Yeah.
We got it.
You are no respecter of persons.
Yeah. I was just going to say with the fish and the coins in the mouth, I'm like, let's Lord, go fishing. What you did for wine.
Yeah. We've had those experiences though.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like if I
just said the fish in the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
the fish in the mouth of the coin.
Fish in the mouth.
The fish in the mouth of the coin.
Sushi. Can we dig into this next part?
Go for it.
Okay. This is a hot take, Oswald. Ozzy. And when you begin to see that person in the middle of a difficult and painful struggle, don't try to prevent it. But pray. This is okay. But instead, pray that his difficulty will grow even 10 times stronger until no power on earth or in hell could hold him away from Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I don't pray
That's my dad right there.
I don't pray that prayer often.
I pray whatever it takes all the time.
But all of a sudden, like, he has prayed a lot of whatever it takes prayers.
Every time you come to me, you out there in internet land.
In TV land.
And you say, Joe, my son or my daughter is wayward and they've just hit rock bottom and we need to pray. I do, but I pray whatever it takes. And for me, it took a deathbed. So be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
But we need to pray those prayers because the same God that will allow them to actually hit rock bottom and see themselves for what he did not create them to be, he's the same God that will resurrect that dead man.
Well, it just makes me wonder, like, how many times have we intervened in, like, think of Sarah. We were just talking about this today. Sarah took things into her own hands.
Yep.
So did Eve, actually. There's a lot of parallels there between Adam and Eve and Abraham and Sarah. And God had a plan the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's like, you've certainly complicated things now.
Had a plan for their mess up.
Yeah. He had a plan for the mess up. He had a plan. And he's like, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Mm-hmm. Back to my original plan. And this part where it says...
My memories today.
Hold on.
My memories today. Look at this. So there was a service a year ago today that there was a person that was struggling in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
And I actually put a fleece out to the church. We were in a service for people to pour into that person. Yeah. And that might have been one of those situation. Places where somebody was where God needed them in lack. And the people in the church came, they did what was right. And they came up out of their pockets with like hundreds of dollars to help this person out. And it ended in...
not that day.
No,
but eventually. Within
a week.
Yep.
It ended with all kinds of just violent words and anger and animosities.
From the person that was receiving.
An accusation, yeah. And God moved them elsewhere. And it was... kind of cool because I don't know where they're at right now, but I actually was driving past a fast food restaurant and I didn't react godly when I seen it at first, but later I did. So I reacted in the flesh first, but I seen a man of God that I know sitting with this person at a table counseling him. Mm-hmm. And I seen the guy smiling and I was like, my reaction was like, oh great, I hope he's like equipped in case this guy wants to assault him. You know what I mean? Because there was some weird verbal, physical stuff going on. But now I'm like, God, I hope that because those opportunities that were taken didn't correct the error that was going on. I hope and pray that that was a whatever it takes moment where God had to pull this person out from amongst the flock and get them away to a place where they could have one-on-one with a shepherd, right? And those are some of those moments where, like, that popped up in my memories today, and I was like, man. I was like, Lord, did I hear from you on that? Like, did I hear from you?
Like a year ago?
Yeah. And, like, all I can see is, like, there were so many people, like we had conversations with a bunch of these people after the fact, and like there was a young couple there that were like, it's so weird, we don't, they always use their phones to pay for everything, and they were like, we had like $300 cash on us that day, we never have cash. And I was like, so that was one of those moments where, you know, the maybe I shouldn't have intervened, but at least everybody was obedient.
You know, and you had the best of intentions, and no matter what, it's like God will use that. First of all, that person will be reminded, you know, I think over and over until they're clean hands and a pure heart.
Yeah.
You know. And even after that, like they're going to, the prayer is that one day they look back and they realize the generosity and kindness and the fruit that was shown to them that day and passed along. But it's also used to teach you.
Because I spend a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Like I do talk to a lot of people. It's a hard
lesson though, because you feel like, I mean, I've recently gone through a situation too where I was like, I looked at you and cried, and I was like, I really think I heard from God here.
Yeah,
100%. We all have those stories.
Yeah. Well, and I sit alone in a truck a lot in between cleanings and ministerings
for
and,
his job.
Yeah, and so I actually seek God on a lot of these things because I don't want to stand before Him someday and have Him be like, you really. Right. We're all about yourself that day.
Well, because this other part, Oswald says, instead of being friends of the bridegroom, our sympathy gets in the way. And one day that person will say to us, you are a thief. You stole my desire to follow Jesus. And because of you, I lost sight of Him.
Hmm. Yeah. And how do you lose sight of Him? You get offended with the person,
the one he sent
that jumped in the middle.
Yeah.
You know,
get out of the way then.
Yeah.
Or you get involved in a community that is wasting oil. When you go to the parable about the bridesmaids, you know, and the ones that were prepared, and when the bridegroom cometh and they all went in and the door was locked and they're saying, give me some of your oil, give me some of your oil. We're to be seeking that filling of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, those the parables like that get in my head about mercy, like us being too reliant on mercy and grace.
Yeah.
Because mercy and grace is a beautiful thing and it's amazing and God definitely gives a lot to us. But there is a day where the door will be locked and we can try our hardest to be like, but like, you know,
yeah.
Come on, do the thing. And like, it's going to be like, I'm sorry. Like, it's done. That freaks me out on like a crazy level if I think about it too much. I have one thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have to teach them to fish.
Yeah.
The whole point of helping anybody, whether you are in ministry or whether you're just doing this, like, because again, everybody's in ministry, whether they have a ministry like attached to their name.
Yeah, you don't need like a 501c.
But like anybody in that, your whole job is to literally like get them to Jesus, get them to the gospel, but it's teaching them how to do it without you, essentially.
You have to teach them the disciplines like, of being a follower of Jesus.
I was like pondering this a lot today. And I actually got like almost like a weird piece about it because I was thinking about like our ministry and how we have like sewn into people and then they start their own and then they move on. And at the flesh, it's so easy for the flesh to be like, God, do we not ever have anybody?
Yeah.
Do they all have to go? And all of a sudden it hit me when I was thinking about that particular thing. That's technically how it's supposed to be. Because you're like, we're literally being, like we're being used and we're teaching people to not be dependent on us. how we're literally teaching them how to fish and that you can do this on your own. And then they create ministries off of that, and then they depart.
Yeah, because Jesus was like, I have to teach you this now because I'm not going to be here forever.
Yeah.
And like, we probably have to be like, I need to teach you this now because I'm not going to be here forever. I can't be your source. You're going to have to rely on God yourself. You're going to have to go to the Father yourself.
Yeah. And so like, technically, when you minister into people and then they get back on their feet and they get like awesome and they go on to do bigger and greater things. That's technically a good thing.
Yeah, it's like watching your kids grow up.
That's supposed. But that's
there are times where, despite how awesome your children are doing and how successful they are as adults, and they're off making their own families and getting an education and making a life, and it's wonderful, and they're following God's call in their life, you still feel like your nest is empty.
Like you're losing something. And so it was really good for me today because I was like, the few situations that we've had of that, that is technically like a really good thing. That's what we, those are the kind of people that we want to be building.
He says, never give any thought to what devastation, difficulties, or sickness it will bring. Just rejoice with godly excitement that his voice has been heard. When he's talking about, listen intently with your entire being until you hear the bridegroom's voice in the life of another person.
So good.
Yeah. There's just so much in it. The part that he's referencing at the end, I don't have my phone, but if you have Matthew 10:34, at the end he says, you may often have to watch Jesus wreck a life before he saves it. And he references Matthew 10:34.
Let's see what it says. It's so good. I literally was just I've talked about multiple people with this verse.
Now I'm excited.
Because it can be so confusing.
Read it.
Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Mm-hmm. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who says his life, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. I love that he referenced that. Do you know how many conversations, like they're endless, of that particular, those particular verses?
Yeah.
Even when I first started to read those, I was like, Joe, what the heck does 35 mean when said, I set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother?
Think about this. Unless you love him and you fall in love with him, right? My grandpa was so good at preaching on this. If you don't fall completely in love with him, when they decide that you're radical or you're over the top with this religion stuff, you're not going to be able to love them the way that he loves them.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to, and then the blind leading the blind, you both fall in a ditch.
Yeah.
You have to be orientated this way fully. Yep. To be able to help this way fully. You can't be a good husband, a good wife, a good father, a good son, or a good daughter if you're not in love with Jesus.
Yeah, if he's not literally the
source.
Because
nobody can love you like him. Do you know what it reminds me of? I've said this before. Nobody loves your kids like you do. I'm sorry, they don't.
Correct. Yep.
Nobody loves your spouse like you do.
Yep.
That's why they say guard your words when you're talking to people about your spouse, because you're going to be quick to forgive them because you love them in that way.
Yep, but
and
other
your family's
aren't.
Not.
That's
your
right.
Other people are not. You have to seek godly counsel.
Yep.
Nobody loves your kids like you do.
Yeah. I'm going to tell this tiny story.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look into the camera right now and say, I'm going to tell this story. It has nothing to do with my husband and the quality of husband that he is. He's an amazing man. This is pregnancy hormones. Okay.
Oh,
so sure. I just literally said this to her this morning.
Joe's bracing for impact.
I told Christina, I said, I'm I'm going to use the pregnancy hormone card on this one, but I have been feeling, I know their feelings. I said, I have been feeling some sort of way lately.
Yeah.
Where I feel very...
I'm around all the time. She goes, you're not even ever around.
Okay, see?
There you go.
Like, Joe couldn't be...
She can't get enough
closer,
of you.
But I, like, can't... I feel like he's not close at all.
If it was up to Heidi, they'd be wearing the same shirt right now. Like, both of them in that shirt.
And I told her... I was telling Christina, it's a very strange feeling for me because I'm... Normally, I'm not clingy. I'm not a clingy person. In fact, Joe usually, like, yells...
kind of sweet,
honestly. Yells at me for it, usually, because I'm not clingy.
He's physically affectionate. You're not.
He is. Yeah. And I'm just normally not, like, touchy-feely a lot. Like, yeah. It's not a common thing.
Yesterday, I sat in a chair next to her, right?
Did you look at
like,
her?
Like, for, like, two movies that I did not watch. And every once in a while, I would interject, and I'd be like, that's demonic. They're imparting...
That sounds so fun.
They're imparting 100%. Awful things to our children right now. What in God's earth are you watching? And then all of a sudden, after like everything's said and done, she's like, you weren't even around all day. And I was like, did you not hear me like all day talking about how demonic your Disney Plus movies were?
Oh boy.
Like from 3 feet away.
Yeah. But you were three whole feet away. Why not just be 100 feet away?
Right.
Anyways.
But.
So I get that they're feelings, right? Yeah. This is not an accurate depiction of what Joe has been like.
And it's not an indictment of Joe's husband.
No. It's like an irrational thing lately where I feel like I just can't get close enough to him.
Yeah.
But yet I feel like he wants absolutely nothing to do with me. Here's the crazy part, though. As I'm going to, because when these are human things, we are like real here.
Yeah, this is the real king.
When your flesh starts to do that, then I'm just like, I'm going to bed. I don't give a crap about any of this. And you go and you lay down. And as I'm going to cry right now.
That's fine.
As I laid my head down, like it, like I literally felt like I heard the Lord say, if you are seeking it from him, you're not getting enough of me. Mm-hmm. And like, it just immediately brought me back to those days, like my dark days, where I love him, but he wasn't my source.
Yeah.
Like, and that, though, that's the scriptures that we just read. Like, your husband, he's your co-laborer. He's your partner. Like, he is everything, but he's not
your source.
The main source. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not your lifeline.
Yeah.
Like, Christ is your lifeline. Because if I am seeking it so bad right now from Joe or yearning for it, I'm actually yearning it for the Lord. There's some sort of disconnect
that's
happening right there. Because when the Lord fulfills you the way that you properly need to be fulfilled, a husband, a spouse, children, friends, they're just a bonus.
Yep. Yeah, that's time to up your time of praying in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. I also said to Heidi when we were talking about this, I said, I feel in my spirit like that's how God feels.
Yeah.
All the time. Where you're like, I'm right here, God. And he's like, uh-huh. I want eyes up here, pal.
Yeah.
I want intimacy. Yeah. I want to have a real conversation. You're phoning it in.
Yeah. If you're
tell you're phoning it in. You're here, but you're not here. You're here, but your mind is elsewhere.
Yes.
You're here, but you're preoccupied with the things of this world. And I want your whole heart. Yeah. I want the whole thing.
Yes.
I want it right now, and I want to feel that I have it.
If you're thirsty, you're missing out.
Yes.
You know what I mean? If you're physically hungry all the time, and it's like something that you can't suffice, there's a good indication that your spiritual man is hungry.
Yeah. Listen to our episode if you haven't already, Made to Crave, because that's huge. Yeah. Go ahead.
Final thought there.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many times, though, that, and this is for so many people listening, if you've had these things with your spouse or your children or feeling like you need something but you're just not getting it, that is a good indication that there's a miscommunication, a chop in the line with God, because if you don't recognize that, if I didn't recognize that, your flesh would start to create fights here.
Yeah. Yeah. God's really kind to have allowed the Holy Spirit to reveal that to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's a kindness.
Yeah. He used me a little bit because I came into bed last night and I was like, "You're acting nuts." I was like, "I've been on top of
gentleness, you kindness, all day. Long-suffering.
Like, what is your deal?
Love, joy.
Like, are you a child?"
So you bring up a good point. If you don't recognize the lie that's happening in the flesh,
yeah,
the devil's gonna send people all around to 100%. Confirm every lie that you're choosing to believe right now.
Yep.
Like, seriously.
Yeah.
So, quick pivot, and one, so I have two things. One, this, he must increase, but I must decrease. Can I tell you, so often I have people come up and they're like, "I feel such peace when you're worshiping, like when you're leading worship, and I just can't get enough of it. You're, you know," and they compliment me and it's so nice and it's so kind. But so often there's this inner turmoil that comes with that, because I never want people to seek, and you guys probably have this too, any type of ministry, don't seek me. It's not, I'm not giving you that peace. That's the peace of God. That's the Holy Spirit. He's working on you.
Yeah.
And there are so many people in the worship world that want to make a name for themselves. Let me tell you right now, I'll go right on the record. I don't want to make a name for myself. I don't care if anybody knows my name. I want them to know his name.
Yeah.
I want to be invisible. I told people in our own church, if I could get away with it without being too weird, I'd have the whole worship band pointing at the cross, everybody facing that direction. Yeah. Don't look at me, look past me. Yeah. I want you to see Jesus. I want to decrease so that he can increase.
Jesus image, they do a good job of that.
Yeah.
And shutting down everything.
So side note, on the Lord. Keep the crosses or get them back into the churches.
Mm-hmm. I look at that cross all the time. When I'm
all the time, it's important.
And sing about the blood of Jesus.
Sing about the blood of Jesus.
Sing about the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. We've strayed too far from that.
Yeah, and when people get hurt, that's when they lose their.
Yeah,
they, you know, it's like I prayed for these people. They didn't get healed. People got upset. Like, I don't have that gift, so obviously, like. Everybody that walks in that gift is over spiritualizing that gift, and that's just too much. I don't cast out demons on the regular, and I had a bad experience with that. So, like, we're not seeking those things.
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah. Like, but these signs will follow you if you believe. So, you have to be very fluent in that language. And the only way you're going to be fluent in the language of authority to do those things is to be in God's word and then praying yourself up in your most holy faith. Like Jude says, praying higher and higher as if an edifice, a strong tower.
Right.
We have to be very intentional with the gifts God's given us. Some of the most amazing people I see walk in gifts of God are the ones that kind of try to avoid them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, it's funny because that's where God is very effective in their ministry, you know, and it's cool to watch that stuff, but we have to make sure that he's our focus.
Right. So I'll wrap up what I started with. And that was that I was hit this morning with this thought or feeling of urgency. Like, I got to do something about this. And then I get confirmation, right? Like, this thing is heavy on my heart. And then I come in and I do my devotional and I'm like, God knows what's
up. Like, I don't know how much more
God knows what's up. So then I'm thinking, this is my flesh, okay? I'm like, how can I craft this into a veiled Facebook post so that people will read it and know it's about them? Right?
I would have read it.
Here's the thing.
And I probably still wouldn't have known it was about me. You wouldn't
have known? Nobody would have. The wrong person would have thought it was about them.
100%.
Or everybody, this is what happens.
It would have been confirmation in the wrong way to somebody
every
else.
Every time I've made like some spiritually twisted, like corkscrew, we're going to get the plug out of this. All the people that should be like woken up about it are the ones that like it. And they're like, everybody needs to learn that.
They're like, I learned that years
because
ago.
Because they feel they're in right standing with God, even though, you know, that's the beauty of deception.
So it dawns on me then. Well, God is like, that's not why I brought this to your attention. Idiot. You need to pray for that person. You need to pray for the person.
Yeah. Come on.
Pray for the person.
You might be the only one.
Pray for the person. So when, you know what I did?
When you're in church and you're listening to pastor and you're like, I hope she's listening to this. I don't get to have those moments because you're always in children's ministry, but
I hope she watches this on the live stream later.
Man. Like, man, I know this is for them. You should at that moment be listening intention, like with intentions of like, God, if there be any of that in me, clean it out.
Yeah.
And then if you don't find any, then you should start interceding like, Lord, soften their heart.
Yeah.
Open their ears. Open their eyes. Remove the scales from their eyes, Father God.
I'm going to tell you right now, I did not pray for myself. I didn't see, I just bypassed that entirely. But now I feel a little repentant about it.
Yeah.
But I will say, I did, when I was on the phone to Heidi, I was like, okay, all right, well, I got to go now, but also, Lord.
Yes, and then what happened after you prayed? You got the whoosh.
I did.
Like, she, after she prayed, she like immediately felt the Holy Spirit. The whoosh is
Heidi's, it's her
it's witness Lynette of
the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah.
The whoosh.
The whoosh.
Some people say goosebumps.
I was going to say goosies, but I thought you'd get me other for people that, but feel you got me for whoosh.
Like they feel wind past them.
Yeah. What was your verse
so that you were going to read? There was a bunch. So no, I was
you had like a main one, right?
Yeah.
So were they connected?
I'll get there. 2 Timothy 2:2 we're going to be in 8. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ the Messiah as risen from the dead. You have to keep him in mind as risen from the dead. If you, if you're preaching pre-cross Jesus, you're going to miss out on the resurrection power. So he's saying, constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ the Messiah as risen from the dead, as the prophesied king, descended from David, according to the good news, the gospel that I preach. For that gospel, I am suffering affliction and even wearing chains like a criminal, but the word of God is not chained or imprisoned, because Paul was in prison. Therefore, I am ready to preserve and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen. So he's like ready to take a hit for the team. God's elect, God's chosen. Those might be the very people in front of you that you're offended with. Because maybe they have a little too much from God, or maybe they don't have enough, or maybe they walk under an anointing and live like hell on the weekend. You know what I mean? Or during the week. But you can't put yourself in a position where you're still not willing to lay down your life for your brother.
Right.
Therefore, I am ready to preserve and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, God's chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation. They will attain the salvation. They might not even be saved.
I can't handle it when he stares right down the barrel. It's so funny.
They too may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with the reward of eternal glory. Man, that's so good. The saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny, disown, and reject us. We are faithless, do not have, and are untrue to him. He remains, if we are faithless, do not believe and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of the Lord to avoid petty controversy over words, which does no good, but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers.
Yeah.
So people are listening. And when you get involved in this stuff and you get upset and you're like, oh, I'm going to make that post, people that read and hear that post, you're going to undermine the faith of the hearers. God's doing a work in them, and you're going to sidetrack them with offense that they were not supposed to be exposed to. You watch your mouth, fool.
Study. Don't call people a fool.
That is a scripture.
I've been there. I've been there. I've done that.
Listen, and again, if you, type it up if you feel so inclined in your notes app.
Yeah.
Wait 30 minutes.
Yeah. Delete it. Come on, the
urge. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will kick in.
Mm-hmm. Write it down on paper, read it, and then take it out and then anoint it with the fire of Bic. Get yourself a little Bic lighter from the gas station. Go burn them once.
He just went hood.
He got study like and be eager and do not do your uttermost to present yourself God approved.
Yeah.
Tested by trial. A workman who has cause to be has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing rightly
the word of truth.
Handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. But avoid all empty, vain, useless, idle talk. Mm-hmm. For it will lead people into more and more ungodliness.
Come on.
Study and be eager to do your utmost to present yourself God approved, not man approved. There's a lot of people that study the word of God to be able to refute and argue with other men of God. And it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I'm watching unsaved people walk by in the restaurant at the booth where these two guys are just hashing it out, whether it's pre-trib or post-trib rapture, or whether or not this is right in theology or not. And meanwhile, the unsaved are walking up to the bar to order another drink to drown what the devil has imposed on them in their life. We need to get right, brother.
You need to tie it back in here.
Yes.
Tie it back in.
Well, this is the thing. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself God-approved, tested by trial. That's where it ties in. That's where it ties in.
Tested by trial is huge.
All this stuff, man. How do you become God approved? You are out there heralding the facts that Jesus said. If you do not pick up your cross and follow me, man. Mm-hmm. Like, read that first part we were talking about where he talks about what Jesus said.
Which part? If you become I'll just start at the beginning. If you become a necessity to someone else's life, you are out of God's will. As a servant, your primary responsibility is to be a friend of the bridegroom. When you see a person who is close to grasping the claims of Jesus Christ, that your influence has been used in the right direction.
Yep, that's it. The claims of Jesus Christ. Study and be eager. And do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial.
Study workmen. So that you can identify the claims of Jesus in somebody else's life.
Yeah. You'll be God approved.
Yeah.
Tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed. Mm-hmm. Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth.
Well, even that, you're analyzing correctly. You know when to divide things. Yeah. Like, all of that's massively huge.
Yeah, when I think
what
of...
What translation is that?
I'm reading on the Amplified. Yeah. When I think about that, you know, there's times where there'll be five needs in somebody's life, and God will give me the ability to speak to the one that needs to be. Sometimes he takes care of one before he can expose the other two, mm-hmm. right? And he's given us the discernment to see all three. So sometimes you have to take out the low-hanging fruit because they can't see past that,
mm-hmm.
you know? And you're rightly dividing, like, okay, this is a parable Jesus talked about. And he talked about the woman who's lost a coin, and she's going around and she's trying to get help to find this coin. But when she finds it, she goes around and she invites everybody to come over and celebrate. Mm-hmm. And she spends way more than that coin was ever worth to bring celebration to the community of the lost item being found, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes people have to understand it's not the amount of coins you have, it's the value that you place on that one coin, right? And sometimes people just need to hear a parable like that to realize they're likened to that coin. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And they have to, they can't see it with their own eyes. So you're rightly dividing the word of truth to be able to give life application of that scripture to their situation now. And now they'll have knowledge of the word of God through life experience. we have a special shout out this episode. Hope you guys are listening. I told you I'd do it. Ran into a couple listeners at Aldi today.
I saw a listener in the wild today. I went to the gym. I went to the gym. I walked in. There's a Real King sweatshirt on the treadmill.
There you go.
Someone was wearing it.
Was it sweaty?
I don't know.
You didn't hug him? Man, I'm a hugger, man. You get caught in the wild with me, you might get hugged. But I'm going to throw a shout out to Riley and Claire. Ladies. Made me think I had a booger in my mustache today because you guys were pointing and whispering. But you guys were like, you're the podcast guy. Yes, I am. And yes, you get a shout out. Riley and Claire. Love you, ladies. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. We are so blessed to have the privilege to share with you. If you haven't already, please connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. You can find us by searching at The Real King Podcast. That's at THE Real King Podcast. The Real King Podcast is recorded in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It is hosted by Joe and Heidi King, who are joined each week by Christina Santamaria as a moderator and contributor. It is produced and edited by Joe and Heidi King and Carlos and Christina Santamaria. All content is under copyright and all rights are reserved.